Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She
D T F. She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lil' Mama bag.
Welcome to DTF. This is the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. This is, in fact, the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show, sometimes podcast in the known universe. Hello, I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm Daryl Charles. Ain't that something?
It sure is.
Ain't that something?
That's true.
He really is.
That's true. He really is Daryl Charles. It's true.
We are here to help bring context to the world of fucking as it's being depicted in modern life and times.
Yeah, we're here to help, navigate all of the messaging and make you feel better about this capitalistic hellscape.
I wouldn't call it better, but,
okay.
You know, add some context.
Yeah.
There's only so much shit you can put on, sugar you can put on shit, right?
Okay, yeah. We've taken
a
turn.
Well, there isn't enough sugar.
Yeah, we've taken a turn with this show now that it's no longer in a bar.
Right? That is the problem. Yo, that's a real problem. Even though we've definitely tried to imbibe while recording this, but... I mean, it's not consistent.
Yeah,
and
it's happened.
Yeah, you're not in a bar atmosphere. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be fun to get back to... I'm going to still rail against capitalism.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
see myself stopping.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, some things will never change. It's just different when we can't be like, hey, Fallon over at the bar, I'm going to drink a bunch of whiskey now. So... That is us showing love, of course, to Frankie Bradley's, which was our most recent venue, which has recently reopened. We are not yet back in the venue, but you should go support your venues and live performance. Frankie Bradley's is having burlesque shows, including one that I'll tell you about later on August 1st, but save the date, because there's burlesque and drag and stuff back in there, so... We will soon enough be returning to the space. That is the plan. We just don't have details for you at the moment. But go support live performance art so that we can get back in there and get drunk in person.
Definitely. The you part of us being in public places is never to be underestimated. Please, when we do have a date, and we will, our show's been the longest running Frankie Bradley's show.
It is actually.
Yeah.
It's the longest running show at Frankie Bradley's. We were our
so
first
shout
season.
Out to them, and we can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we're here to talk about diddling.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. So this is a podcast, which means that you're going to be missing some critical elements of what we're about to do. However, we will play the audio for you, and we'll give you some nice keywords so you can watch it yourself if you want to.
True.
But we have an amazing, amazing video to discuss today that Daryl found. Can you tell the nice people a little bit about what we're going to play?
Definitely. Shout out to Greg on Twitter for this lovely piece of multimedia and the suggestion that we talk about it on this podcast. If you have anything that you think is kooky or weird that we should discuss in the podcast, you can always message Timmery or myself on the various social medias. We will say that at the end. But in this video, there is one femme-presenting person who is standing in a club venue, a party place. It's in Florida.
That's
at
key.
The Wharf.
That's clutch. That's an important piece of context.
As you will see, Florida woman was there, in a nice little cocktail dress.
Mm-hmm.
She had a bit of a vapid look on her face. I mean, to say that, like, her level of sobriety might be questioned.
Yeah.
That might be the first thing you notice.
Yeah.
At which point she puts her hand between her legs and starts moving violently. Back and forth, and then she lifts her leg up on a table that is near her, cocktail table, right, like a coffee table, height, at which point she proceeds to evacuate some liquid on the floor. And when this happens, the person recording starts screaming like a murder has been committed. She just, I mean, a consistent holler. It's not a holler, it's a scream. It's a consistent scream. A holler is has a lot more bass in it. This was completely a shrill shriek.
Shriek, yes, absolutely.
So yeah, to paraphrase all of the super great words I just used, a lady squirted on the floor, and then another person who was watching started screaming. And then I believe the lady tried to go for a second, you know, a second dousing. And security showed up and put her hand behind her back and walked her out of the venue.
So I think at this point we should at least just play the audio. Now you know what to expect. You know what is going to come. So spoiler alert and also pun. But Daryl will act as color commentator now as we play this. So do you have it queued up, Daryl?
Oh,
we're gonna watch this together, and then our fantastic editor and producer Flirt Vonnegut will be stitching in the sound for y'all so that you can enjoy this this audio with us. Are we emotionally and spiritually prepared for this moment?
Yes.
Okay.
I am ready. Ready?
All right. I'm going to cue it up. Get ready. Get set. Go. I think it's also important to note that there is Chris Brown playing.
Run it.
Yes. The screaming has begun.
Just, yeah, screaming, and now this lady put her, those are her sandals on the ground, right? And she almost slipped in her skirt.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm impressed by a lot of this. Like, my first reaction is actually like, that was incredibly efficient, especially for what is likely a drunk person. To come that quickly is actually physically impressive to me. And I also want to know who she's making eye contact with.
Yo, the eye contact is the best part. That's the thing. Like, when it zooms out, there's someone in front of her.
She seems like almost baffled by this person who's upset. She's like, what?
Yeah, I don't. Oh, wait, no. I think that's the other security guard.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then she...
It was the other security guard that she was...
It's on autoplay, so we've now watched it a few times.
Oh, yeah. No, I was pausing.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, yeah, it's 33 seconds. Right, it's not a long video, but still. Yeah, I think it was the security guard she was staring deeply. But that's the thing. She was staring intensely at a person, but I don't think she was looking at that guy. I think... she was looking at something in front of her. You know, like when someone's like, what are you looking at? And you go, oh, I'm sorry, I got caught staring. That's the face.
Like,
I believe.
Disassociation? Like that kind of party?
Yeah. I mean, she was... I think, okay, apropos of nothing, my guess is that she was horny and drunk. And possibly on more than alcohol. And... was told that she was making a scene, and she was like, oh, you want a scene?
Oh, okay, that's your...
That's what I think is happening. Maybe it wasn't so, like, confrontational in her doing it, but I think because you can see, like, there's music playing and all shit, it, when I looked at other pictures, because I do my research, when I looked up other pictures from the wharf, it looked like a place that's kind of packed.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Yeah, like all of the pictures, you know, and this is great promotion for this place, I guess.
Which we don't know the name of. But Florida, right, in general, is a state.
The Wharf. The Wharf in Florida.
Okay.
I believe that's the name of the venue.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Given that, like, there are empty chairs and tables around her, and the only people you can see, the closest people you can see to her, except for there's a very weird part. We're just like somebody's sneaker, like they're sitting on the chair, like catty corner from her, just like chilling. Anyway, other than that, it's all staff. So I believe she was already being told to stop whatever the fuck she was doing. And she decided to cap it off She said, oh, I have only begun to embarrass myself publicly. And I don't even know. I bet you she wasn't embarrassed. But then she decided to squirt. And then I guess the extra security came, because when she left, there were two people on either side of her holding each arm. So, yeah, I think that that's what happened.
Yeah, it prompts me to have to interrogate a lot of my own assumptions, right? Because I think one of the things we're going to be talking about is the gender things here. One of the comments that people are making in the Twitter thread is like, if that were a dude, you know,
the cops would have been there immediately.
Yeah, and I mean, she is escorted out by security. Like that definitely happens. The only times I've ever seen, you know, presumably identify as women, people, you know, masturbating in public are either it's like a sex party, so that's the vibe, that's actually what's happening, or it was someone who, yeah, like was kind of not reading the room, that but was otherwise, it was a very libidinous situation. Like I've seen it happen at a burlesque show. It has happened, and people are just like failing to register that this is going to be perceived as inappropriate.
Yeah,
which I think is very different than a lot of the times where I've seen men jerking off in public spaces where they seem to actively be wanting to bother people.
I think, like, it is definitely far more aggression. Like, this is the most aggressive I've seen a woman masturbate in public.
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Isn't it that whole thing about when you have your knee crossed, your legs crossed, and your knee is bouncing? I know that's like a subgenre of porn where it's like, watch this woman, you know, they call it like masturbating in public. Like, I can't remember what it's called. Stimming.
That's a pretty discreet way of doing it. And I think that that's sort of also the nature of the anatomy that we're discussing. I mean, I've definitely also just seen like dudes just sort of like jerking off in the park, and I guess, you know, I'll be like, hey, like,
yeah, you know, like, I get it. It's peaceful out here, but my G.
But it's like, you know, like there are more discreet places to be than on this park bench. Like, and it's like, I didn't ask to be a part of your scene, and you're like not paying me money. So
it's like I've made out and I've had my dick out in Central Park before, but it was like behind bushes, and me and my friend were chilling behind bushes, like under rocks, like we were trying to stay away from public view when we did that. So yeah, I think it's there's a lot of not reading the room, but I feel like it's I think she was just on some shit and was decidedly on one. It would be very wonderful if we could interview this lady.
I would love to find out.
This is just her protesting Chris Brown music, and I'd be like,
wow.
Well, look at that empowerment in it.
Yeah,
in it, and is something.
I mean, that would be something. I want
to
know.
I gotta hand it to her.
Yeah, I just have questions. I just mostly have questions, and I also have to, again, like, it's an interesting thing to be like a self-described sex positive person, but to also be very much like, context matters and compartmentalization and like boundaries and things. And if you go to a sex club that is well run, if you go to a sex play party that is appropriately run, there will be spaces where there's no nudity, where there's no sex, because you need like decompression zones. And just for people to have a moment where you're not like all the way overstimulated, where, you know, maybe you want to just have a conversation for a second, or maybe you just, you know, need to rehydrate, like whatever it is. And I think that's the thing, is like when the world is sex negative, there's this assumption that like to be sex positive means that like, yeah, anything, anywhere. And it's like, no, because like you still have to give people the chance to opt out. And if you're doing it in a public space, like they can't really opt out. You know, and I don't think it's necessarily like, think of the children. No, think of the adults. Think of the adults who don't want it either. Like, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily like inherently traumatic, but, you know, there is research on like how many people find it traumatic to be encounter like unplanned nudity or sex, because it reminds them of shit that actually did really mess them up, that that was offensive and was hurtful and was violating. And so it's like, it's the surprise element and the inability to get away from it. Like, there's not a place where I can go where I can get away from it. That's the part that really, like, upsets people. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't feel traumatized, and I hope nobody who is there does. But I think it's also interesting, like, how much of my reaction is because this is a woman.
My reaction is just for the person recording. Ayo, son. Like the screaming. Like, I get it. You were trying to draw attention to yourself. That's why you were recording in a place where I'm sure many people were just enjoying being alive. That's why you had your phone out and decided to record stuff instead of, I don't know, dancing to a very catchy song. Because this was early Chris Brown. This is anyway.
Yeah. That's when he was like a teenager. Talking about
still a baby, no neck tattoo of a battered woman's face, Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Run It was a jam. Mm-hmm. Either way, what the hell was up with the screaming, dog? Like, yo. Typically, if you watch a lot of the media surrounding sexual activity, the screaming is done by the person squirting, not the person behind the fucking camera. It's especially when I'm watching this thing 9 and 10 times, you know, the scream was a bit much.
I found it hilarious personally because I hope it's not someone being traumatized and screaming out of like sheer horror.
Oh,
I hope
no.
it's
I
shock.
Think that was a
I hope it's yeah, just like cartoonish. Oh my god, like when you see a drunk person just like start peeing on a plant in public and it's like, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. Like
okay, all right, well maybe it's just the you could have did it at a 7 and you did it at a 12 okay. And that's my beef. Yeah, I get it. You know, but everybody, it's a club atmosphere. You shouldn't be touching. You should not have your genitals in the open at any party that doesn't ask you to do so in the party.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I would be a hypocrite if I acted like that wasn't like a thing that I've engaged in. I'm going to just be honest, but like, you know. The whole point of being a person is that you hopefully learn and go forward and make better choices.
Yeah. And I get it. You uploaded it for the views, human being who did this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just hope more people will be like, I wonder what this person's mental state was. Like,
yeah.
It's a bit more of a, like, seeing the whole video, I have a lot of, wonder about the rest of that person's day, weekend, afternoon, and I have a lot of derision for the person who recorded its just actions during it. And
I want to know the follow up. Is she arrested? Right. Does she then go on a sex offender registry for the rest of her life? You know,
that's a good point.
And this video will be the evidence used in the trial. Right. Is this video going to get her job taken away? Like,
yeah,
you know, so many questions. And like,
yeah,
I mean, if those are the consequences, that sucks. But I mean, I don't know that anybody can do anything about it. Like, you're just, you know,
right.
You're
an adult in public. Life has consequences.
Yeah.
You know, and typically when you're not a white man, those consequences come fast and hard.
Yeah.
And they're usually negative. Yeah. But man, you know, don't touch yourself in public. And like if you see somebody doing some weird shit on the street, to have a little bit of empathy when they do weird shit on the street. And, you know, not everything. This is definitely something that brought joy to my day by watching it on the internet. But, you know, think about that shit, because
I mean, I'm not judging because we just talked about it for like 15 minutes, but it's like,
right, exactly. You know, I did this as a news person. No, but
just raising questions, guys.
Just thoughts.
Yeah, just asking questions.
That's all we're doing. Yeah, but yo, it's
that's
wonderful
that
piece
happened.
Of Twitter.
Yeah,
right there.
And it's, again, I think one of the things that's interesting for me is the gendered double standards. And part of it was like, I just literally have not seen this sort of thing happen where she is not doing it for anyone else, as far as I could tell. That was for her alone, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, as far as I think she was doing it as a form of protest to whatever the security situation was, given that like no one's around her. And it's not just like no one who knows her is around her. Nobody is around her outside of the staff.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's not like she was in a corner by herself and was like dancing and was like, you know what? I got to get it.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's what was happening. I think that, she was probably doing something that brought her under the watchful eye of security at this place. And then when she was told to do whatever they asked her to do or told her to do, she was like, well, you know what? This is going to finish with a mop. I know that. And then she did her thing. I do hope that, like, you know, all they did was tell her to leave, you know, maybe even said, you're never allowed back in this club again.
That seems optimistic. I hope that is what happened. Yeah.
I hope that's as far as it went. Anything beyond that, you know, it's like, this is a person who, I don't know if you could say they had a good or bad day, but they had a day.
They had a day. You know? They sure did have a day.
They, wherever they woke up the next day, they was like, ooh, I was on one yesterday, huh?
Oh, man. That headache's going to be something serious. But on
I need to drink more water.
Yes, we all do. Well, it seems like she's pretty well hydrated.
I see. Yeah, well, you know, that skein gland is doing the thing.
So this seems like a good point of transition to talk about the idea of this, like, double standard situation, nudity, sexuality and gender in public. So for our next piece of fucking news, we're going to travel around the world. We are going to head over to China, in fact, to discuss. There was a growing faction of Chinese women artists who are basically engaging in, like, body shaming of men as a means of fighting back against the way that women are constantly body shamed. So it's an interesting thing. So it's a penis shaming trend in the online feminist community. And 23-year-old artist Lin Yutong assigned scores to the penises and supposed sexual potency of 14 established male artists based entirely on their facial features and their fingers. And she was doing this in reaction to some work that had been done by an artist named Song Ta, where he secretly filmed 5,000 women students on a university campus and then assigned, like, scores to them on their looks. And he stitched it together into a 7-hour video. And he called it uglier and uglier, and put, like, their scores on the bottom of the clip. So in response, she rates him and a bunch of other dudes. And a lot of it has to do with, like, perceptions of their genitals and, like, assigns them a vegetable that she thinks their dick is like. And this is part of a larger trend of saying dudes have small penises and just trying to body shame them.
Yeah, there's a larger trend of body shaming men for having small penises, usually done in response to being shamed for some of the more outwardly parts of female genitalia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just criticizing lady brains. Usually the response is to then body shame the men over that as a, don't you see how this feels bad? And then the response is, why are you trying to divide us? Which I always find to be cute.
Cute. Okay.
I think it's cute. Like, if you're like, yeah, man, women with no titties suck, and then they go, yeah, well, I don't like big balls, and you go, why are you trying to hurt everyone? It's like, come on, when did you just start critically thinking? Now? Like, you know, this is tit for tat. This is a retaliation. It's like, you know, being upset with protests and never trying to look at what the people were protesting. But, you know, I'm not trying to make it into a bigger thing.
So Lin says that, this is a quote, objectifying men is an act out of helplessness. And she says that she has no personal disrespect for the artists that she's featuring. And she says, I know tit for tat is not able to take us closer to equality, but I can start a discussion. At least I'm not saying silent. I get it. And, but, you know, like, I'm coming from a place of relative privilege. Like, the U.S. is different than China in ways that I don't even begin to understand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, especially as a white lady, I have far more access to power than she does. So I don't want to, like, act like I know better than her. My only issue is that I don't think body shaming is going to get us anything good. I feel for her and I support this idea from a very, like, yeah, when I was 23, I would 100% have been on board with this also. Sure. Like, absolutely a big fuck you to, in response to things that make you feel bad and like try to hold you back. The thing that I hate, and this was a thing that came up a lot when the last guy was president, is that people would try to make fun of that guy for being fat and having a small dick. And yeah. I have friends whose bodies look like that. And Trump doesn't hear your jokes, but those friends right. do.
Right.
And that's what gives me yeah. a big sad and a pause about this kind of thing. I had a dude write me an email one time. I posted a small dick joke on Sex with Timmery. I don't know why, but for some reason it just like never occurred to me what that was doing. That wasn't saying fuck you to patriarchy. That's saying fuck you to people and reinforcing the idea that dick size has anything to do with anything, like right. as though it has anything to do with masculinity or anything to do with sexual pleasure. And somebody wrote me and was like, why is this the one form of body shaming that's still allowed? And I was like, oh my God, why mm-hmm. why had that not occurred to me? And so I immediately took it down, changed it out, and apologized, and haven't done it since. But like, literally needed to have it someone pointed out to me, because the world is so patriarchal that it feels like anything that's a fuck you and makes men feel bad is fine.
Right. You should feel bad. You're a man. And, you know, there is definitely plenty of that to go around. But yeah, this it's the problem of being a caring human being, that when someone asks you to care a little bit more or a little bit differently, you actually think about it. Where if you're going to be an idiot or just a complete jerk for jerk's sake, like the last president, right? No, you're never, it's going to be harder for you to take that moment of self-reflection, because you not reflecting is your identity. Mm. So you have to hold on to that. Nah, it's right because I did it, and I did it because it's right. That's the way it is. There's no reason to change. Mm-hmm. When someone says, well, why don't you just think about the people that you're hurting? There's only one side of that argument that is going to listen to that part, and that fucking sucks. And it sucks to be like, yeah, I think that you know, the male patriarchy is bad, and one way to get back at them is by criticizing the one thing that society has allowed them to feel shame about. Mm. And then people show up and go, yo, you know, I feel shame about that, and I'm on your side. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, plenty of responses to such arguments across the board have been, obviously, I'm not talking to you. Please don't center yourself in every conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that thing. It's the same thing of like, you know, when you call, you know, I don't know, J.K. Rowling fat, she doesn't say it, only fat people do, and now we know how you feel about fat people or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, and yeah, it's not going to help, but if it's going to start the conversation, you know, and so to be like a shocking realist about it, some people need to feel bad about their dicks, and it has nothing to do mm-hmm. with their dicks. Some people need to feel bad, and you know, I enjoy shaming people who I feel deserve shame. My personal ideas on who deserves shame and who doesn't are different than everyone else's, and I try to make my views palatable to the public, because I go on stage and demand money for jokes in which I ridicule people. So yeah. You know, yeah, everybody's different, and
I think there's also like there's room for lots of different sort of aims when it comes to any sort of movement or like idea for like social change. Like you need the person who yells at white people, and you need the person who will do the emotional labor with someone who's ready to learn, and you need the person who just puts out information and you can digest it when you're in a place where you're able to do that. You need all of these mm-hmm. different types of things, because everybody is at a different spot, and like you will mm-hmm. access what you need to when you need to, when you're motivated to do so. Because ultimately all change, all behavioral change, all belief change does not matter unless you're motivated to do so. So like, I guess you'll find it when you fucking find it. And you know, I think yeah. about a lot of the activism I engaged in when I was much younger was just super angry, because I was angry at all these institutions that I couldn't change. And like, what the fuck does it matter if I say these super offensive things about these institutions?
Right.
You know, and I think that, for instance, like for me, I still rail against the Catholic Church. And I try to do so in a way that's very much about the institution itself and not necessarily everybody who believes in Catholicism. But there was a point where that was not a level of nuance that I cared about.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I think, to go back to my point, only typically one type of person cares about nuance. And that is where we get caught in this shitty kind of spiral where it's like, it's the, what they call it, the no true Scotsman thing. Mm. Well, it's like, well, you can't really be down with, the only person who could really be down with the cause would never say anything to denigrate anybody. Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we fucking hate Nazis. Well, why are you so full of hatred? Because they're fucking Nazis. Well, if you can't really be against hatred if you hate Nazis. It's like, yeah, well, I'm always going to be a person who hates Nazis. There's nothing you could do to stop me from hating them because I won't stop, right? I choose to. And how to deal with me, yeah, has to factor that in. Like Timmy was saying, it's like you have to, there are different types of people in the fight. And there's a weird line where it's like, you know, catching flies with honey and vinegar, right? Like you got to meet people where they're at, and you have to, you know, yeah, use people for what they're given.
Yeah. The more I think about this, the more it's just like, you know, you got to have pop music that's about the part of love where you're just swoony over a stranger. You got to have pop music mm-hmm. about the songs where you're just like super comfortable in a long-term thing. You got to have the pop songs about the horrible breakups. You got to have all of them, you know?
And yeah.
And when I think about these young artists and I'm just like, you know what? Good for you. I think that you're going to draw attention to a movement through a thing that a lot of other young women will probably really will be resonant with them. And I feel there's definitely going to be a lot of hurt feelings about this that ultimately I don't think are the long-term sustainable solution. Exactly like she said, she knows that this isn't really the route to equality. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a potential for someone to get their feelings hurt and go, oh, that does suck. And for some of them, it'll make them more incels. It'll make them more misogynist because they're like, look, girls are being mean to us. Mm-hmm. You know,
I didn't need them anyway,
yeah.
Which is the best.
Yeah.
Oh, a person who's always going to get my ire, no matter what they do, is anyone who considers himself an involuntary celibate person. I think it's adorably trash. it's cutely stupid. Right? It's like when your cat, I don't even want to say something a cat does. I like cats. it's a ridiculous notion that like I'm mad because no one will have sex with me and the problem is them.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to sell unless you also buy it, I guess. I don't know.
We've talked about incels on the show a few times, and I think really important points that we always should bring up are, first of all, the first person to use the term involuntary celibate was actually a woman, I believe, who was on the spectrum.
I think so.
And it got completely just stolen away from that original intention. And it, mm-hmm. you know, like the MRA movement in general, it has the capacity for being really useful. Like if dudes spent that time getting together and talking about the limitations of emotion that they're allowed to have in our culture, or the ways in which, you know, intimacy between men has been stifled, or they could talk about, you know, the ways that they have been damaged by the patriarchy and join forces together about how difficult it is to be a man in this era. Like, mm-hmm. I would fully support that, but that's not what the movement has done at all. Instead, it's just a bunch of, like, guys joining forces in order to, you know, affirm each other's misogyny. And it's really unfortunate because these are movements that like could have been helpful, but instead of going to therapy, those people just did not.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, you know, it's a few idiots who get propped up to draw in more idiots. Mm-hmm. And the problem in those spaces are, if you never call out the shitty behavior, you end up pushing away people who don't like shitty behavior, and then you just mm-hmm. end up with a bunch of shitbags.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with a lot of movements, right? And it's not just the men's rights people of the world. It's not just that. The shit happened with Bernie supporters. Like, it just, you didn't call out shitty behavior, and then you had a bunch of shitty people, and you had a bunch of people who just didn't like the shitty people leave the movement. And it's like, well, that can't be right. Right? You know.
Yeah, this is the complexity. I just hope that this continues to move the sort of dial further towards women having voices and agency. And I'm excited that this article at least even existed, that they're covering art being done by Chinese feminists, because that's not a thing that comes across my timeline unless I'm looking for it.
But yeah, you know, stop shaming people for things they have no control over. The hell, stop shaming people. Just say what you think is right and wrong and leave it at that, right? You don't have to then say, if you disagree with me, you probably have never seen vulva before. You know, there's no reason to do that. They know they've never seen vulva. There's no reason to bring that shit up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just be happy with the flaps you've seen and leave people alone.
Yeah. And while we are on the note of learning from what others have experienced and the bad things that have happened to other people, but come out on the other side, that's going to take us to our next piece of fucking news. You like that transition, Daryl?
Great. That was a good one.
So this is going to take us to something that I want to emphasize we're not making fun of. I want to just emphasize we are using this as a learning opportunity, and also bodies are wild. Bodies are completely fucking wild. So this takes me to a story about the, this is the first case that we know of, was written up in a medical journal, a medical first, vertical penile fracture.
Yeah, the up-down part of the dick got broke, not the side-to-side, or side-to-side pressure was not what broke it.
Yeah.
Which is typically what happens, like a snap. Right.
So most of the time it's a transverse one. Yeah. So you've in all your different planes of motion, right? You got like your up, down, sagittal plane, you got your side to side, frontal plane, transverse plane is rotation. And in most cases, what happens in a penile fracture, and again, we assume everybody knows this, but in case they do not, there is no bone that is actually fractured. It has to do with the erectile tissue being filled with blood and it not going back into the body. That's how an erection works. And when a fully erect penis is bent too far or with too much force, it just buckles under that pressure and it causes blood in the penis to like leak out. And generally when that happens, there's going to be a loud popping sound and there's going to be bruising and swelling, and immediately the erection will go down. But in this particular case, most cases where there is a penile fracture, it is when the receptive partner is on top. It's more likely to happen when the man is over 40. There's a number of things like that, but this is a man who is 40. And his partner was on top, and his penis, this is a quote, buckled against his partner's perineum, which you probably also would know is the taint. And he didn't hear a pop, and it was only moderately swollen, and the erection like just generally like slowly faded. But he went to the doctor. It was because it felt strange. Got an MRI, and it confirmed that his penis had a 3-centimeter long vertical tear along the right side, around the middle of the shaft, and it's the first ever of its kind of that nature. Good news is, you know, he was treated with surgery. Within 6 months, he was able to resume normal sexual activity. Seems like he's gonna be all right.
Yeah, typically what can happen with those injuries is your urethra, that's the pee pipe, and for men, also semen goes through there. Anyway, we have one hole, women have multiple ones. Anyway, the urethra can become scarred or, not shortened, but,
narrowed.
Like an narrow, that's the term. Yeah, like an arterial blockage, right? Mm-hmm. Like the scab can make it harder to pee, and it can also turn the penis in one direction or the other, depending on how tight they made the stitches or whatever. But
or that can happen from like Peyronie's disease too, because like calcification will cause a penis to curve as well. A curve in a penis is not bad or weird. It's just that if it becomes too curved, it might create difficulties for you. And in which case, you want to definitely get that treated.
You'd probably want to, you have to worry about your hips in one direction when you're fucking. You don't have to think about the other one.
And like a rainbow shape. Right. Yeah, that would be exciting.
I mean, you know, or not. Hey, I'm sure that there is a specialty porn waiting for you Riddler dick. I'm sure. It's totally okay. But yeah, so yeah, this happened in 2020 because of the pandemic that was going on. They couldn't take pictures of it, sadly.
That is sad.
But you know, they fixed it and they did it. Good on the penis haver for recognizing that. Mm-hmm, I guess it's painful. I mean, I imagine there's some pain to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I have experienced pain during sex, and it hits a lot different than when you're not having sex. Pain does. So yeah, kudos on them for figuring it out.
Yeah.
And getting it fixed.
Yeah, he said. You know, like that. In general, like, just so people know, if you ever experiencing something like this, do not let shame or embarrassment or anything like that like keep you from going to the doctor. It needs to be treated within like 24 hours because it can be treated.
Six, they said. Like, you want to, yeah, if something happens bad with your penis, you want to go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. Go to an emergency room, an urgent care, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think they're just going to be like, you need to go to a place where they can do surgery. Yeah. You can't Tylenol your way out of this, buddy.
Yeah. And it's also just important to have like awareness of the fact that this can happen. And again, it's most likely to happen if you're, again, over 40, if you're having sex either with your receptive partner on top, or also it can happen during like doggy style if you're like going in and out too fast and you come all the way back out and then don't go back in the hole you intended. You just like bonk up against some part. Yeah, that,
which is, whew. I mean, that's some wild fucking right there. I guess I'm just not doing it right because I've never broken anything. That's that's how I'm taking it.
That's what you're going to take away from this story.
That's my takeaway. I have not been doing it correctly because I've suffered no injuries. You know, you want some battle scars to show that you've been out in these streets.
I mean, why don't you just get some carpet burn then?
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, so you just get some good old-fashioned carpet burn.
Nah, I want dick pain, baby. No, actually, I did get dick pain before. Oh boy, yeah. Wow, what a flashback.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, it was a lady I was having the carnal relations with, and she didn't shave down there, and so the hair was just kind of bristly, and I ended up with scabs on the side.
Ouch.
Of my penis.
Okay.
Because that's what happened. And
abrasion.
I remember. Yeah, just it was a rug burn from her rug. As such, she apologized profusely. I really think it was more the fact that it was like stubbly than, you know, when hair is nice and long or has had a chance to do its curl pattern, it's usually soft, right? But then when it's freshly shorn,
can be
jagged, and I think I caught the edge of that.
Yeah, the stubble's the worst part.
Yeah, the stubble sucks.
This is like a 90 degree turn for a second, but I did a fire massage like a week ago, and the funny thing about fire massage, I really enjoy it, and if you have the opportunity to do it with someone who knows what the hell they're doing, like, I highly recommend it. I don't recommend like just doing it to yourself if you don't know, but next time you're in a kink situation and somebody's doing fire massage, definitely take them up on it if you're interested. But the thing I didn't realize is like how much, like, as a human, there's just like peach fuzzy hair, mm-hmm. right? And just like tiny little peach fuzzy hairs on like the back and the chest and stomach and stuff, and how I was not aware of them at all until they were burned off, and then I was like, look at all these tiny little short little, you know, they're real soft, so it's not sharp or anything, but it's just like, oh yeah, man,
that smoke's coming from my body because of hair on it.
Human hair is so weird. Human bodies are fascinating,
man. I am not anywhere near I am too hirsute for a fire massage, it seems.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on this, and I'm curious what... I mean, I don't imagine
I'll
that it happens.
I'll have to get one done.
Yeah.
That's what I'm taking away from this.
I'm curious if it can be done on a hairy person. I don't know. I was kind of like, go over into the armpits. Just take care of it, you know?
Just handle it. Yeah, sure.
Because, like, shaving is difficult and gets bumpy, you know? Like,
because, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We should just have, like, a fire massage expert on to talk about all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will get naked in public for a fire massage.
Okay.
I've said it here, and that means it's true.
All right. We'll do it at when we come back into the venue.
Man, you have to, Daryl, you have to think about the words you say before they come out your mouth.
It's on the recording now. We're going to hold you to it. All right. Yeah, so this guy's dick broke vertically. So I'm glad he's okay. We are not making fun of this. Again, no. We were talking about this because it turned out all right.
Right.
Turned out
I originally thought it was he must have like hit a cervix too hard. Oh. And then to find out it was a perineum, I was like, oh, that's just a completely different mistake.
Yeah.
Probably the same root cause, right? This dude's thrust or these people's thrust coefficient was far too high for whatever they were doing. But yeah, to it's like trying to hit a three from half court and then it bounces off the rim. The bounce is gonna be hard.
Yeah.
You put a lot of force into it.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like you're not gonna have a penile fracture from hitting a cervix. That would seem unlikely just because like the vaginal canal and the positioning of the other person is
right.
probably long enough that it's not going to happen. This sort of thing happens when, again, like the penis exits a person's body, tries to go back in and misses the mark. And misses, that's more likely. Yeah.
Again, I'm not doing it right. I try to leave it in the whole time. I'm not doing it right. I need to take it out, give it some air. Because the way to cut down on queefs is to just, you know, keep a seal.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
that's
so a very good point. Not to get too personal, but that's what I've been doing. Come to find out, it was wrong.
No, I'm gonna
need to do it different.
I think you're doing fine. But speaking of wanting to take something out, get some air, we are gonna move on to our next piece of fucking news. Yeah, these transitions today are
not the transition
something.
Out here. Yeah, you better go.
So our next transition. This is an article from The Intercept that I read that was written by a Brazilian writer, Bruna de Lara. And this has to do with the Free Britney movement. We're going to talk about Britney two episodes
Hashtag
in a row. Yes.
Free Britney.
Yes. And this article is basically about how when Britney Spears was testifying about her conservatorship, June 23rd court hearing, she talked about one of the elements of her life being over-controlled is that she has an IUD that she once taken out and they're not allowing her to do that. She wants to have another baby. Her team has prevented her from going to the doctor for this because apparently they do not want her to have more children. And this author says there is a term for this and it's sexual violence because
in Brazil.
Yes. Well, because according to Brazil's domestic violence law, any effort that denies or limits the sexual and reproductive rights of women is a form of sexual violence. And there are a lot of international laws that say that. The U.S. does not have that. The U.S. actually has an incredibly tragic history of taking away the reproductive rights of disabled people, which...
You know, the World Health Organization, it says it in an article, the World Health Organization has, like, a universal, you know, here's how we should... All countries should deal with sex this way. And, you know, as a world organization does, they have humbly asked every country to review it and sign, and the U.S. is not. They have refused to, and because it includes, you know, you should not be able to deny a person their bodily autonomy because of any disability, whether it be cognitive or physical.
Yeah, the U.S. has a really bad track record on this. Like
super bad. There's a great episode of Criminal about it.
Yes. The Bell case, where. I mean, also just we have a history of eugenics in general against not only disabled people, but also just, you know, like First Nations people, indigenous populations, black women. Like the history of gynecology is largely done on people who were not consenting to it, largely women of color.
And were not anesthetized in any way, shape, or form. If you just want to get into the horror show.
Yeah. And we have a history of people being able to sterilize their children without their knowledge or consent. And there is another episode of Criminal about a mother who did that to her daughter specifically so that she could get this massive fortune that had been left
to her.
That's
what I was talking about.
Oh.
What was the other one?
Oh, I was talking about just Buck v. Bell and all of the history of eugenics laws and like the Supreme Court saying like three generations of imbeciles is
that's right.
is enough. And
that was in that episode. They brought that up.
They probably brought it back, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court basically was siding with these like super racist, classist ideas of like what people deserve to reproduce, like not factoring in how the outcomes of children might have something to do with whether or not they have like a house and education and like opportunity, just basically being like, these people are bad and therefore their kids are going to be bad because it's a genetic thing and it has nothing to do with...
Yeah. It's fun how much United States doctrine relies heavily on the idea of original sin, or there must be something inherently wrong with the people who aren't succeeding in this system that requires there to be an underclass.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So the IUD in this is not meant to be a villain. I'm a big proponent of them. They're not
it's
everyone.
A tool.
Yeah.
I love an IUD, man.
Yeah.
Woo.
Not everybody has a good time, and the unfortunate thing about an IUD is because you don't know how your body will react to it until you've had it.
So it's in, yeah.
But
and it has to wait for a little while because there's typically just an original reaction, and then afterward.
Yeah, and there's
people tend to normalize or whatever.
And there's the different types of IUDs. You've got the ones with and without hormones, and so you're gonna have a totally different experience on those. And there's a lot of variables, and we've talked about IUDs on the show a number of times, but the nice thing is
intrauterine devices.
Yes, it is. It goes in through the vaginal opening, through the cervical opening, into the uterus itself, and that is how an IUD works. But
kind of like an umbrella. No, I'm just kidding.
It does. It goes in there. I mean, it goes in there, and then it opens up like an umbrella, except for it only has the two arms. So it's just like it's like a person with their arms down by their sides, and they go whoopsh, and they go out to the side.
Yeah. But again, there's the non-hormonal one, which is made of copper, and that the going theory is that
copper effectively acts as a spermicide. Yeah,
right. Yeah, the copper in irritates the uterus to the point where it will not.
That is also
harbor a
working theory as well. That's the thing is like the copper IUD. We don't totally know how it works, but it seems like it functions as a spermicide. The copper ions, and then also just having something in the uterus makes it like nope. We're not going to have the lining build up.
Obviously, we don't have a baby because we got IUD in this bitch. Does anybody not... anybody... This is... Nah. And that's... Yeah, that's what the... And all we care about is the nah. As long as that nah doesn't hurt anything else, then sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the
hormonal ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hormonal one is like local. So if you don't want to have hormones go through your whole body like you do with the pill or with the shot... then it's just localized and it basically works the same way as all the other ones, which is prevents ovulation. It prevents the implanting, but it prevents the pregnancy from happening in the first place. It is not an abortion also. We always want to clarify that. But if you want it, an IUD is great. If you don't want it, that sucks, man.
Well, if you don't want it, that's great for you.
Yeah.
It just means that if you do not want to have a child, you have to do other things. And there are plenty of other things one can do.
Yeah. I meant to say it sucks if someone is making you have one in this Brittany case.
Definitely,
specifically.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by that.
Yeah. The entire argument is about consent, mm-hmm. not the method in which it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this particular case I just hope that this person who has been working her entire life gets to have like control over her own destiny. I think that
the life that she has, yeah.
And it's also because we've brought this up on the show last week, is if this is happening to such a wealthy, famous person who is, there's a great Ronan Farrow article and I think it was like Gia Tolentino, I think they were the two that wrote it, about the history of her conservatorship. So if you're interested, that's a great piece to read. I think it's in the New Yorker. But if this is happening to her, it can happen to someone else who has way less power. So we don't want that.
Right.
We don't want reproductive coercion in any direction. You shouldn't have to have kids that you don't want to have, and you shouldn't be prevented from having kids just because your dad says so.
Just because someone else thinks you shouldn't have kids. And, I think with great power comes great responsibility, right? I definitely think that most of the people who have kids shouldn't have them. That's a personal opinion because I've hung out with you and your children, and guess what? You're weird. and you're raising weird people, and it's fine to be weird, but when that weird also includes lack of self-love or a lack of love for other people, that's when it's like, maybe you shouldn't have. But whatever, you still have the right to do it, right? and you have the right to all of the repercussions that come from that. Your children hating you, your children hating himself, whatever happens. That's your American right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of destroying generations of humanity.
Wow.
The ability to do so should not be policed by someone just because of whatever their feelings are, whether it's for your health, your welfare, whatever the hell it is. It's just like, we, you know, the most recent of this, these sorts of eugenicist-ic things was, you know, women being detained by ICE. Women trying to cross the border being detained by ICE have been reporting that they've been getting hysterectomies that they did not consent to.
Yeah.
And that's happened with multiple people. It's not like one or two. As if, and I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but like, as if one or two would make it okay. Oh, they took her uterus out? Just one? Ah, obvious mistake. Let's move on. Like, no. This is surgery.
And that's like a major surgery too. Like that's
we have to cut open people and put them to bed. Like, yeah. You know. So those things don't happen by mistake. And, you know, it's as we have talked about and as is brought up in the criminal thing, this kind of stuff is old. People have been trying to make sure that the disenfranchised don't have children by law for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think good people do that. That's just a me thing.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the rationale is. I mean, okay, so there was a time where I would say that I could hold the eugenicist belief that everybody should have some sort of reversible form of sterilization that you opt out of. Like, I, as a young person, was like, if we used IUDs, assuming that that actually, like, could work for everyone and didn't have side effects. And then there's a thing called RISUG, R-I-S-U-G, that has been developed, but for some reason is still not commercially available, but it's a reversible form of temporary sterilization for people with penises. It's like injected into the urethra and it blocks sperm from coming out. It's like basically like a temporary vasectomy. Mm-hmm. And it seems super, super effective and to not have any other side effects, but because of a lot of factors, nobody will fund it and it is not a thing that is available yet. And I thought for the longest time, like, if we had that as a normalized thing and then you have to opt into having a kid, just like actively make the choice, that might change the whole future of the world. Everything,
it would definitely change the whole future of the world.
Yeah, everything. Ooh. That I learned though, realizing that, like, who's gonna decide that? how will the system work? And I realized that I don't trust the systems. Then I was like, oh, I guess I can't hold that belief anymore, but I still kind of do.
You can hold the belief, but just understand that in practice, it's just it's infeasible that there's not going to be shenanigans.
Yeah. I just wish that parenthood was a thing people opted into. That's really what I want. I wish nobody got pregnant or didn't get pregnant, didn't want to.
And it would be a lot different if we had a society set up to help people with babies.
Yeah.
I think your opinion would change then too, I'm guessing. But like, if having a kid didn't mean that you were more likely to go destitute because of a random broken leg, then, oh, you wouldn't lose a job because somebody's got to be around a fucking infant all the goddamn time, then, yeah, you know, let anybody have a goddamn kid. But, you know, it's not black and white. None of these issues are. Nuance is important, and that's why we're here.
Yeah. So is that, are we at our time for today?
I think we're close. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, with that then, I guess we'll resolve this and say that, like, double standards, man. What's up with that?
Yeah, double standards. They're the worst.
Yeah.
We need to stop that. You know, again, it's asking people to take a second and think before acting, and that's not how you got America, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's another episode of DTF where capitalism was the villain all along.
There's a lot of villains in this one, and I don't even know if there are any heroes. Except for that lady touching herself with the wharf.
Well, I was going to say the doctors who fixed that broken penis.
That's also true.
Those people are heroes.
Yes. Drunk women and doctors.
Yeah. Shout out to all the doctors who are dealing with drunk women.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I bet you that lady was a doctor. You know, doctors party hard.
They do. They work hard, they play hard.
Doctors work hard, they play hard. Medical doctors, they mm-hmm. go hard when it's mm-hmm. time to go, because for 2 years of their life, for like 4 years of their life, they lived in hell.
I'd say it's longer.
Yeah, but to get a MD, it is not fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's typically very rigorous, and for good reason, because I'm allowing you to put me to bed and cut me open. But
so shout out to all the medical professionals who are listening. All our nurses. And if you're a medical PAs, professional
who happened to squirt at a party in Florida, I just hope that you got out whatever you needed to get out, and you are able to do your job today better and more effectively because of that incident.
Yeah, that catharsis. Yeah, true. So, and good luck to everyone at the Wharf and everyone working at all of the venues this summer while everyone loses their collective goddamn minds.
Yeah, yo, please, take a minute or two to yourself to just focus on your breath before mm-hmm. jumping into a big social situation. Mm-hmm. Even people I know who are fine mentally and have the cognitive ability to be like, yo, I got really anxious just now in this group of people. They are still getting anxious in big groups of people because we just haven't been around that. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. relax.
And let us take that note of self-care and all of that. I think.
But I am going to act a goddamn fool when DTF comes back.
We're going to be drinking out of the DTF mugs, which are currently holding a bunch of straws.
Ooh.
Yeah. So in the meantime, until DTF is back in the venue, where can people find out more about you, Daryl? And where can they buy your album, Black Gentrifier?
You can get my album, Black Gentrifier, from me. What? That's true. I have CDs. They are for sale. They're called compact discs. It's a way that we use to store information on a plastic media. But I got those. You can holler at me. I'll be in Philly on I guess when this comes out. I don't even know when this comes out. But check my website, darylcomedy.com, to see my dates. I will be in Philly a lot in the next 2 weeks. Then I will be elsewhere, and you can get all that information at darylcomedy.com. And also, if you don't want to buy a CD, and you hate me, you can also just stream my album or buy it online too. If you give me money and we talk about it, believe me, you can get my album. It's very gettable, so please do that. It's a fun album. I enjoyed it, and I am having the comedian debate in my head of, do I do those old jokes when I see people in public, or do I do new ones? And that's inside baseball talk that nobody cares about.
No, I'm interested to see. Yeah,
right. It's a weird thing. But anyway, you can see that when you see me do stand-up comedy.
It's like your play Wonderwall, you know.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, oh man, yo, I'm giving $1 to the first person to interrupt my show by telling me to tell a specific joke that was on Black Gentrifier.
Do the math one.
Yeah, right? If if somebody says that, I'm giving you $1. That's going to be funny to me.
You're the do the Silver Surfer one.
I was just in Whiteford, Maryland, which sounds exactly like it does. And I would have lost my shit if someone said, do the Black Gentrifier joke in front of all of those rolling hills and Trump flags. I'd have giggled, gave you $1, and then did the joke. I'm a professional. Where can people find you, Dr. Timmery?
Oh, that's a great question. If you go to drtimmery.com, you can find not only links to stories like the things we discussed on the show, but other pieces of news. And you can also find my upcoming events. So some of the things we have going on include, it is Slut Church Summer. So we are doing our metal burlesque show every single Tuesday at Taboo. And Slut Church is also still doing virtual shows. So if you like metal music and you like burlesque, you have the opportunity to watch it from the comfort of your home once a month or every single week on Tuesday at Taboo. I'm also doing other shows. including there's going to be a one-time only reunion of Honeygasm, which is a long-running show that is MC'd by our producer, Flirt Vonnegut, and it'll be back for one time only, Sunday, August 1st at Frankie Bradley's. You can get tickets for that at frankiebradleys.com. And it features an amazing cast that you won't ever get a chance to see again, because it's got people from Florida and DC and Philly, and it's going to be amazing, hopefully. So all that's at drtimmery.com.
Cool. Yeah, I've been to both Slut Church and Honeygasm, and I tell you, this lady knows how to throw a good time.
It's a good party. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can come for the acts because they're going to be great. You can also just come because it's like, it's a real fun crowd. It's friendly people who are looking for weird conversations. And yeah, you'll make friends. Yeah.
And if I'm there, I could do things that I've done at her things, like handstand strip dances.
Yeah.
These things, you know, anything happens at those places. That's why they're fun.
Yeah, we want to be a deviation from the norm. That's all we're asking for.
Earlier this hour, she did say she was at a show where a woman just decided that it was okay to play with herself. So,
yep.
Just saying.
Yeah, she was in the front row.
Whoa! Yo, that's a level of bold, man. That's bold. Wow! You would at least... You know what? I would say you would at least want them to be in the back of the room, but no. I think there's there's a joy to that innocence. I was horny. I started touching myself. You can't do that in the front row. Well, you want me to go in the second row? Oh boy. That's cute. It's adorably stupid.
Yeah. I don't suggest doing that. Please don't do that at our shows, because the venue will not be pleased.
And it's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not do that in our venues. Thank you very much. All right, so on that note, thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting us for 8 flim-flamming years. Thank you to our editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut, who puts us together and has to deal with us and the sound of police sirens. And yeah, we will talk at you next week.
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.